Now, how do you power a research station in Antarctica? Well, the answer is usually with very large diesel generators. And that means you also need to get the diesel down there, and that costs a lot, both financially and also from an environmental perspective, because you've got to burn more fuel to ship it there. But now scientists from the South African National Antarctic Programme, their SANAP for short, have come up with a much more environmentally friendly solution, which is they're also making use of the notoriously powerful Antarctic winds. And Miracentha Lingam caught up with the Antarctic's temporary resident, Johan Stander, who's a mechanical engineer at the University of Stellenbosch.
Most Antarctic stations are quite dependable on fossil fuels and will be becoming more expensive to fuel stations, not only the fuel itself, but transporting the fuel to Antarctica. And then secondly, governed by the Madrid Protocol, we are actually obliged to minimize the environmental footprints of stations in Antarctica. That's why we actually investigated the possibility, feasibility of sustainable energy sources of solar and especially wind, since Antarctica is one of the windiest places on Earth. We designed turbines specifically to harness the Antarctic wind, which is quite extreme compared to other wind sites in the world.
And how did you set about designing this turbine for this particular environment?
First of all, the most important obstacle is the low temperatures in which the turbine should function. In that case, we spent some time selecting specific materials that can cope with in the low temperatures, varying from plus 10 degrees Celsius to minus 40 degrees Celsius in the winter. So the steel, we select steel that has a high carbon content. We select the epoxy for blades that is also used in aircraft design. And we kept the turbine itself as simple as possible, robust as possible design, so, meaning less parts, more reliability.
And what about things like oils for, say, movements of the turbine blade?
So the only thing we're actually using it as a lubricant is grease. And the grease is a synthetic grease. And it's food lubrication grease, meaning it's also biodegradable to some extent. It can cope with temperatures up to minus 50.
And how many of these turbines have you made so far?
So far, we're testing a prototype. That is a 15-kilowatt machine. It has a hub height of 12 metres, a rotor diameter of 7.2 metres. The blade itself, it's a black blade. Okay, it's a glass fiber epoxy blade. And then a shell, which is the actually interface between the rotor, the tower, and the tail vane. It's a steel structure. We didn't go for an active yawing system, the yawing system being the system that keeps the rotor in the wind. We went for a passive system just to eliminate the amount of parts needed and obviously make maintenance easier. And the tower itself is a lattice structure, which obviously have less effect on snow accumulation or induce less snow accumulation than tubular tower. And foundation, it's a rock anchor foundation. Since we are limited in construction materials and construction time, that was the easier option.
Just how windy is Antarctica? So what kind of wind speeds do you get there? And are they quite predictable wind speeds? Are they constant or are they variable?
Compared to other wind regimes in the world, Antarctica is known for its katabatic wind regime, which is actually driven by cold air. It's like opening a fridge and when you feel the cold air rushing over your feet. That's the same principle, the same mechanism that's actually governing Antarctic winds. The wind is quite extreme. At the highest wind speed we've measured here at Sinai in the last 7 years was 62 meters per second at a height of 10 meters. Temperature-wise, the colder it gets, the more extreme the wind. At the moment today, the wind speed is around about 7 meters per second and the maximum temperature is minus 2. What is quite interesting when comparing an Arctic wind regime to a normal wind regime is that it's quite constant throughout the year. At Sinai, it's around about 11 and 9 meters per second for at least 60 to 70% of the time per year.
So what's the expected figures for the amount of power it's hoped to produce then?
So far, we have converted about 100 kilowatt hours during the test. And the capacity factor of the machine or the site is 80%, meaning it will operate at rated power for 80% of the time per year. The wind energy that will be converted is estimated at equivalent to 30,000 litres of diesel fuel.
So how would the turbine work? Will it be running constantly and therefore will it be actually creating power that can then be stored?
There's no storage at the moment. Since it's such a small system compared to the diesel generator system we have, all power will be fed to the station And in days of excess wind, where the power is not required, it will be dumped in the snow smelter, which actually provides the station with water. So all there's no storage, all power will be fed to the grid.
So in terms of the prototype, it seems to be working very successfully. So if this continues, will you be scaling this up in the future for the site?
After the end of this year, we will increase the amount of turbines. So we'll erect two more turbines, then increase the total capacity to 45 kilowatts. And then maybe in the future, we can, if the foundation does allow, we can change the generator, increase the capacity of the generator.
And I guess that makes sense because a lot of the work actually taking place out in Antarctica is looking at the environment and the effects of things like climate change. So it makes sense to make the site itself as efficient as possible and therefore not contributing to this in itself.
It's saving diesel fuel and reducing emissions, increasing the autonomy of the base. That's the main aims. I mean, what's the point of doing research here while polluting?
Absolutely. That was Johan Stander from the University of Stellenbosch, who has now returned to slightly warmer Cape Town from Antarctica. And he was talking to Mira Senthilingam there. And just in case you're wondering how fast an average wind speed of around 9 to 11 metres per second is, that's about 25 miles an hour. That's a 4.6 or a strong wind on the Beaufort scale. Definitely what you'd call a wind chill factor.
Thank you very much, Kat. It's Chris Smith and Katani with you, and we're talking all about the science of the power of the wind and how we get energy from it. Coming up, how scientists have discovered a way to get energy from the jet stream by flying a wind turbine up there. That's on the way.
Laying the facts bare.
I say.
The Naked Scientists.